your Bible. You may already have it open to John chapter 1, and if not, now would be a good time to open it once more as we return to these words. And after the government announcements this week, families across the UK have been facing a number of important and difficult questions. Questions like, is it too soon to put up the Christmas decorations? Questions like, will Santa bring his own hand sanitizer this year, or will we have to provide it for him? Questions like, what is the greatest Christmas film of all time, and why is it The Muppet Christmas Carol? These important and difficult questions that families are asking at the moment. But this Advent, as a church, I want us to ask an even more important question. The question, why did God become human? Some of us are busy working through the difficult question of who we're going to spend Christmas with this year. But why did God, at that first Christmas, choose to spend Christmas with humans as a baby? We sing about it every year. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God pleased as man with man to dwell. Why? Why did God become human, born as a baby? Why didn't he just offer us some kind of care package at a distance from heaven? He's got loads of angels. He used angels a lot in the Christmas story. We get them in the nativity plays when you see them. Why didn't he just stick with using angels to bless us in some way? This is the God who created everything in the universe out of nothing. Why did God become human? It's a question I want us to ask over the next few weeks as we look at a number of different passages, and you can look at more at home. And today I want us to put that question into some kind of context. And as we put the question into context today, I hope it will help us to put our Christmases into some context this year. It's a bit of an odd, confusing year to celebrate Christmas or to even know what celebrating Christmas actually means. But I think, I hope anyway, that today we'll see something of what it might look like to celebrate Christmas in these strange COVID times. So I want you to picture a scene. You close your eyes, try and stay awake. Picture this scene, a nativity scene. You think of the classic nativity scene. There is the baby in the manger, and you've got Mary and Joseph. You've got the animals around. You can bring the shepherds if you want, coming to see the baby. The wise men came later, but you can bring them in as well with their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh if you want to. And you have that nativity scene there. And alongside that nativity scene that you're picturing, John gives us a few words. He tells us of that scene in verse 14. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. And those few words tell us three incredible things about that nativity scene that you've just been picturing in your mind. Three incredible things. The first is that baby is actually God. That's quite an incredible thing in itself, isn't it? For those words, the Word became flesh. John is telling us, and God is telling us today, that baby in the manger is actually God. The Word became flesh, we're told in verse 14. We're introduced to the Word at the beginning of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. But the Word didn't begin at that moment in the nativity scene. But this Word is someone eternal. There in the beginning, when the world was made, long before anything we see around us came into existence, there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and more than that, the Word was God. But this Word is God. Throughout eternity, God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We use the word Trinity to describe him. And we don't need to get our heads around that this morning. We just need to know that's what the Bible tells us. And the word that we meet in John 1 is God, the Son. The one who eternally has been and always will be God, the Son. He is God. And that baby in the manger is the Word, who's in the beginning, who is God the Son, the person of the baby in the manger, is God the Son, the Creator, born into this creation, the one that angels worship, placed into an animal feeding trough. The Word became flesh. That's the sort of thing that should amaze us every Christmas if we know God. That this baby in the manger is actually God. But as we think about those words, the Word became flesh, it tells us another incredible thing about that scene, the nativity scene. That baby is not just actually God. The baby is also actually a baby. The baby in the manger is actually a baby. But when John is telling us that the Word became flesh, this isn't God just playing a game of divine dress-up, putting on some human clothes and a human face mask and just pretending to be born. And God the Son, we're told in the Bible, actually took on human nature. He remained fully God. Yet he's also there in the manger, fully baby, fully man. The Word became flesh. And as we go through John's Gospel, we see that this baby who grew up, he ate and he drank and he laughed and he wept. As a baby, he needed his nappy changing. That baby is not just actually God, actually a baby, fully God and fully man. The Word became flesh. But it gets even more incredible than that. That baby, who's actually God and actually a baby, grew up to live an actual human life. This wasn't God just making a brief tour of the world, coming down for a few weeks for a short break. This is God the Son coming down to experience human life in its full range of experiences we experience it. We get that word flesh, the Word became flesh. There are a few times in John's Gospel where you get the word flesh contrasted with the word spirit, speaking of the kind of limitations of life in this world now. And Jesus experienced those limitations. But God the Son experienced the weaknesses and the pain of life in this world. He was even able to die. But that baby in the manger was God the Son, born so that he could die. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, not at a distance from us, not far away from humanity, but God the Son came down and lived among us and experienced the full range of human experiences that we face, including birth and including death. The Word became flesh. At this time of year, as Christians, we often use the word incarnation. And incarnation is what we talk about when we talk about the Word becoming flesh. That baby in the manger is actually God, God the Son, actually a baby born to this world who would grow up to live an actual human life. That's the incredible news of Christmas that should amaze us every year. That we can't fully get our heads around, but that should lead us to worship this God who became man? And we still need to get to that question, why? I haven't forgotten that question. But I think before you think about that question a bit, it would be good to pause and worship this God who became man. I'm going to listen to the song, Light of the World, where we say together, whether in our hearts or out loud at home, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you are my God, this word become flesh. So having looked at how the word became flesh, we come back to that question, why? Why did God become human? And I'm not going to give you a full answer today. You have to keep coming back over the next few Sundays, and even then you won't get a full answer, but you get more of an answer than today. But a starting point for our answer. And as we've looked at verse 14, I just want us to look really at one other verse in John chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 18, which gives us two important statements. The first statement in verse 18, no one has ever seen God. A statement that gives us some sense of distance between us and God in terms of us knowing him and having a relationship with him. A distance that exists because he's God and we're not. A distance that exists because he's perfect and holy and we are not. No one has ever seen God. But the second important statement, the only God who's at the Father's side, he has made him known. Depending on what translation you may have the only Son rather than the only God, but the point is the same either way. It's clear what the Bible is telling us here, that God makes himself known through his Son, the one we call Jesus. But here, the Bible is telling us that there's a God in heaven who wants us to know him. There's a God in heaven who wants us to know him. And not just to know him at a distance. And not to know him like some kind of passing acquaintance, like you might know your postman or someone like that. But to really know him. And to know him well. But this Christmas story is part of a bigger story, a story of a God who makes himself known to people like us, the story of a God who makes himself known to people like us. Even that description of Jesus as the Word, and that points us to a God who wants to make himself known, doesn't it? We use words to communicate. I'm using words now. We use words to tell people things and so that they can get to know us. And the same is true with God, that throughout history, God has been a speaking God. You only have to think about the first chapter of the Bible, some of you will know it well. What happened? God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke the universe into being. But his speaking didn't end there. He created humans, and what did he do? He spoke with them. He communicated with them. He made himself known to them. What happened next? Well, those first humans, Adam and Eve, they didn't want entirely to listen to God all of the time. They closed their ears and listened to the lies of the serpent instead. They turned away from God. They sinned. They disobeyed. What happened then? God kept speaking. God continued to make himself known to these humans who've turned away from him, not just speaking words of judgment, but also words of hope and promise. And throughout history, in the Old Testament, in the Bible, you see God's people again and again doing exactly what we do, of shutting our ears to God's words. Even if we say that we love these words, yet so often our lives pointing in a very different direction. away from God, wanting to do our own thing, wanting to live life our own way. That attitude that the Bible calls sin, that attitude that we're all guilty of. And yet, what happened? God continued to speak and continued to make himself known so that people could know him. And he raised up these people in the Old Testament called prophets, and God spoke through these prophets to make himself known. And all of those prophets were preparing for something even greater to come, for someone even greater to come. There's a book in the New Testament called Hebrews, and at the beginning of that book, we see these words: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. That's what John is telling us here in verse 18. God speaking to us by his Son. God making himself known to us through his Son. The Word became flesh. But God not just sending a prophet, but now sending his Son, the one who is in the closest possible relationship with the Father, the one who is at the Father's side or in the bosom of the Father, depending on your translation, the one who came to make God known to us. That as we see Jesus and we see what he said and what he did and who he is, so we come to know God. People like us can know God. But this Christmas story, where the Word became flesh, is part of this bigger story of a God who wants people to know him and to have a relationship with him. A story that comes to a beautiful climax when Jesus does return. John, who wrote this gospel, also wrote the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and this is what the book of Revelation says in chapter 21. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. An eternal relationship with God, knowing him so intimately and knowing his care so closely, knowing him so closely that his dwelling place is described as being with man. That close relationship, knowing his people and being known by them. Why did God become human? We're going to think more about that in the next few weeks. But here we get some context for our answer. It's part of the story of a God who wants people to know him. A God who doesn't stay at a safe distance behind some Perspex screen several meters away, but a God who comes down close to us. The Word became flesh, dwelling among us so that we could know him. So there will be people, a huge multitude of people who say together, as we said in the last song, you're my God, you're our God. And say those words forever. And if we've understood that good news, well, that gives us some reason to celebrate this Christmas, doesn't it? Even with everything else that's going on that may make it a very different kind of celebration. Yeah, that good news gives us some reason to celebrate. If, for most of us, in one way or another, this is probably been quite a painful year at points. We faced hard situations. As a church, we faced a number of bereavements and sadnesses. And some of us have had personal trials as well with our own health or family members or the pain of isolation. But here we see that God became human. So in those painful times, we could be in touch with a loving Father in heaven. God became human so that in those painful times we could know a loving Father in heaven. And as we look back over the last year, we look ahead to the coming weeks, It's quite a confusing time, isn't it? It's confusing to make sense of what's really going on. And sometimes I look around at you sat apart with your masks and it still feels a bit surreal that this is where we are this year. Yet God became human so that in these confusing times we can know the eternal Creator who helps us make sense of what's going on and where this world is heading. That God became human so that we could know the eternal Creator through all of the confusing times we experience. As we look ahead to even the next few days, it's a very uncertain time. We don't know what's going to happen. It's been difficult planning for Christmas at a church level, and it's been difficult for us planning for Christmas at an individual family level. We may not be sure what's going to happen. These are very uncertain times, even more so than usual, it feels, at least. Yet God became human so that in these uncertain times, we can know the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one who has the eternal view of history and knows where it will all end, who knows what lies ahead of us and promises to be with us through it, that the Word became flesh so we could know the one who knows the end from the beginning, the eternal Creator, the loving Father we have in heaven. That gives us some reason to celebrate this Christmas, doesn't it? With everything else that's going on. To celebrate that we can know him through the Word become flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're asking this question, why did God become human? Can I close with another important, perhaps even more pressing question for all of us today? What's your response to him this Advent? What's our response? What's my response to him this Advent? This God who's made himself known through his Son, the Word became flesh. It could be that for some of us, our temptation is to keep ignoring this God, to keep shutting our ears and not listening to him. That's our kind of default as humans, that we have this tendency to go away from God and to ignore him and to not listen to his voice, to want to live our own way. And perhaps we think that we'll be okay even if we keep ignoring God, that if there is a God, it'll all work out okay in the end. The Bible says that our relationship with heaven is damaged. We can't restore it ourselves. And if it remains in that position, then we deserve to face God's punishment for how we've lived. We deserve to be separated from God forever. We need God to act if that situation is going to change. And here at Christmas, we see so clearly that God has acted, that the Word became flesh so that we could know God, even though we have sinned and we have turned away from him and ignored him. Yet here in Jesus is a way that we can know God. We can have our relationship with heaven restored. We can know hope and relationship now and forever. And if we've been ignoring God for however long, and whatever lies in our last week, or whatever we may have said or thought of God in the past, God is still speaking to us today. God is still speaking to you today, calling you to come and to put your trust in Jesus, and through him to have a relationship with heaven that will last forever. To come asking for forgiveness, asking him to give you new life, asking you to help you live as one of his people, asking him to give you hope for the future. God is still speaking to us today. This Advent, don't keep ignoring him, this God who makes himself known to us. Come to Jesus and know a relationship with heaven through him. Maybe for some of us, we are people who trust Jesus, who know him as our Saviour. And maybe our temptation this Advent is more to just get distracted. Because there's lots of things that go on at Christmas. There's lots of busyness and we end up buying presents and putting up decorations, some of you already have done, and we need to work out our travel plans and who we're going to see, and we have the added COVID stress and trying to work out these uncertain situations, and it can all distract us away from the most important thing. The most important thing being the relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ. The most important thing of the good news of the Word became flesh, of God become human so that we could know God forever. So the right response this Advent to this God who makes himself known, not to keep ignoring him, not to allow ourselves to be distracted away from him, but to keep coming and enjoying this relationship we can have with him through Jesus. That this relationship that we enjoy as we listen to God speak to us, as he does in his Son through the Bible, this witness to Jesus Christ. This relationship we enjoy with him as we come to God in prayer for whatever situations we face in our lives. This relationship with God we enjoy as we know him at work in us, helping us each day to live in a way that brings honour to him, in a way that makes sense in light of that hope we have now and forever. So today John introduces us to the Word become flesh. That baby in the manger was actually God and actually a baby and actually grew up to live an actual human life. And the Word became flesh so that we could know God, so that we could know a relationship with God. So let's come today and know him, and to come to know him more and more this Advent. Amen. We've got one more, I think it counts as a carol, before we finish our service today. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendour. And this video is one of a few that we'll see this Advent time that's been generously provided by the choir of Grace Church Guildford. They filmed these videos earlier in the year. And so we're going to listen to these words. Emmanuel, within us dwelling, make us what thou wouldst have us be. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship thee. Let's worship this Saviour and King together.